Our topic today is wisdom in the workplace. Some of you probably wonder if there is any. I know that in the current economic situation, it is certainly not obvious. When reading a magazine, do you ever slow down enough to take a glance at the advertisements? And if you do, have you noticed how, especially recently, in some of the adverts, the business or industry running the advert, there is just no mention of a product? It's simply that the purpose of the ad is simply to convey a sense of confidence in their business. I first became aware of this with a Prudential advertisement I once saw, and it was just a picture of the Rock of Gibraltar. Well, Prudential doesn't sell rocks, and so what's this about? They're saying you should have confidence in them, that they are as solid as a rock. And you see this all over the place. It's amazing, especially in the financial world, how many companies have rock or stone in their name. Again, solely to convey confidence that there is wisdom in their business, that they can be trusted. I guess some of you may be thinking of Northern Rock, one of the banks that went through such a financial crisis, but having rock in their name didn't save them, did it? Maybe there isn't as much wisdom in the workplace as they would like us to believe. Now, true, hindsight provides a lot of insights, but did no one in the middle of the financial crisis stop to think? A business model based on a constantly expanding bubble. Bubbles are designed to burst. That's what bubbles do. Did everyone have their head so far in the sand that they didn't think about this? Or did they just hope that it wouldn't burst on their watch? The book of Proverbs has much to say about wisdom in the workplace, especially in prosperous and giddy times when it is just so easy to get caught up in worldly ways. Proverbs is an anthology of pearls of wisdom, general guidance aphorisms, pithy yet memorable statements, pearls of wisdom. These pearls of wisdom are thousands of years old, and certainly one of their purposes, their main purpose, was and is to provide guidance for ethical and godly living. A corollary, however, is that they are practical. Looking at the proverbs that relate to the workplace, they make sense, even today, as principles for good business, not just ethical business. The God who created us made us so that ethical living is good living. He made us to live according to his plan, and life is so much better when we do. Let's look at a few examples. I read Proverbs with a highlighter in hand and marked all the Proverbs having to do with business or the workplace. A useful exercise, I might add, one I highly recommend you do. There are hundreds that apply, so we will look at just a selection, and I have grouped them into the what, how, and why of the workplace and included one or two examples for each. So I have a great home study for you to do. Get a hold of three highlighters of different colors and read through Proverbs, first watching to see if any of the Proverbs strike you as applying to the workplace, and then if they do, coloring them in by whether they're addressing the what, the how, or the why. Let's look at some examples to get you on your way. The what of the workplace. What are we to do at work? For one, we are to be diligent. Proverbs 12:24 says that diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor. And Proverbs 13:4 says that the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. And aren't these the truth? The great inventor of the light bulb, Thomas Edison, once said that invention is 10% inspiration, but 90% perspiration. As a general rule, diligence, perspiration, focused hard work are needed for success. Okay, take a moment and think about this in your life. Where are we not being diligent at work? Is this an area for confession and repentance? Did you know that many question whether internet surfing has more than discounted any productivity gains made from everyone having a computer? A huge time waster in many businesses. And so closely related, Proverbs also tells us that we are to be honest in our work. Proverbs 11:1 says that the Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight. And there are many others that focus on honesty in the workplace, and don't these ring true? We probably all have experiences of honesty and dishonesty in the workplace, and when you see problems, you just know they will come home to roost. Do you use that expression, come home to roost? How about what goes around comes around? The Bible says you will reap what you sow. One might call this the practical application of these proverbs. Let's look at this practical application, the first one of the whys. Proverbs 11:18, the wicked man earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. This is repeated with brilliant wording in the New Testament, where Galatians 6:8 says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Quite a warning, isn't it? But it seems that many more of the Proverbs focus on the relationships inherent in life. So let's take a look at some of the Proverbs dealing more specifically with relationships in the workplace. We might call this the how to behave in the workplace. For one thing, we are to seek guidance and counsel. We are not to do this alone. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. And we are to practice patience. Proverbs 14:29 says that a patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. And what about Proverbs 21:5? The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. Now, closely related to patience, and I think this is where we see the manifestations of a lack of patience, is in thinking things through. Thinking things through takes time. But as the last proverb said, haste leads to poverty. In other words, haste makes waste. Proverbs has something to say about thinking things through. Proverbs 14:15, a simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thought to his steps. In Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Now, it takes time to weigh our answers, but that is what the righteous person does, we're told. And the alternative is to gush. The mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Great image, don't you think? And I think you see this more and more as people become more and more driven. Hurry up, quick decisions are the order of the day, and they're a huge problem in the workplace. In this hurry up world we live in, don't you think technology has exacerbated this problem? Think about email. We type and send without thinking, without giving the thought that is the wisdom of the prudent that we just read about. How often do I wish I could recall an email or worry about the damage that might be done if a phrase is misconstrued? Proverbs says that in the workplace and human relationships, take time to think. Be patient. Now, there is a third key to relationships in the workplace that Proverbs deals with: humbleness. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. In Proverbs 16:5, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. And God knows that pride is our downfall. Pride is at the heart of our sinful condition. Now, time out, everybody. This is a hard one. Think a minute. When I am emotionally angry and fraught, is it biblical or is it pride? Let's move on and explore the why. Why is important because if we don't understand the reasons behind direction we receive, we are more prone not to follow that direction, don't you think? And God knows that we cannot live as these proverbs suggest we should, that we won't always act this way in the workplace. I don't, and you don't. And it's because on our own we can't. We don't have the basic wisdom to make this work, to actually carry through with good intentions. And Proverbs tells us why. Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Wisdom and knowledge don't come from within. They come from the fear of the Lord. And this fear of the Lord means the awesome reverence that comes from understanding who God is, and especially who He is compared to who we are. He is the Creator, we are the created. We are like the clay to the potter. And Proverbs is telling us that if we understand that, if we accept that, then we have the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. If we don't have this fear of the Lord, then we do not have the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. But we will always be grasping for it. And everyone is grasping. Some even delude themselves into thinking they have it. Sports and film stars, as they jump into popular causes, often think they are the beginning and the end of wisdom and knowledge, but they are not. People high up in politics often pontificate as if they were the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, but they are not. And people in academia often think that they are the source of wisdom and knowledge, but they are not. People are forced to grasp at straws if they have no understanding of our purpose. And our purpose stems from the God who created us for His purposes. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, those are some examples of what, how, and why from Proverbs that have huge repercussions in the workplace. Now, remember your assignment. Go home, use your highlighters, color in a copy of Proverbs, and see which speak most clearly to you. These were some that spoke to me. In our time remaining, I'd like to expand on the why and add some practical ideas of how this can be used in the workplace. Now, if you're a Christian, a child of God, then you have seen, as we have looked at these Proverbs, just some of God's direction for our work lives. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, we're so glad you came. And you have been able to get a glimpse of how God teaches His children, His followers. I found the Bible, and not just Proverbs, is full of pearls and images to guide this everyday living. In fact, the Bible has two closely interwoven themes. The first is that it lays out God's plan to rescue His people. The second is that it provides the guidance of how to live as a child of God, a user's manual, if you will. The Bible is God's manual for living in God's world. So we have the guidelines to live by, these ideas of how we should work and relate to the workplace, but there's a catch. It's the living by pearls of wisdom that's the hard part. I'm sure you've figured out by now, but I'm not a preacher, I'm a businessman. So let me share some of my story and how I learned some hard lessons. Because it's easy to see how people lose their way, how they lose hold of wisdom in the workplace. I know I've been there, done that. You probably have too. For myself, I was very Machiavellian. I could out-scheme the best of them. And then I became a Christian when I was 30 years old. But nothing really changed in the workplace. We had Sunday, and we had the rest of the week in the business world. I spent most of my career in management and communications and aerospace companies, most of them multinationals, and I operated as the world operated and was reasonably successful at it. What eventually challenged me was the oft-repeated phrase, "If you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you?" Don't you hate it when someone comes up with a phrase that just really nails you? Well, this one really nailed me, and it gnawed at me, because in my case, there wouldn't have been enough evidence to convict. And it wasn't because I didn't work hard. We work, and that is a good thing. We are called to be diligent, and that is a good thing. But there's just so much more. There are the relationships in the workplace and how we handle them. God places us in the workplace for a purpose. He doesn't call us to Machiavellian behavior. He doesn't call us to be successful at others' expense. He calls us to be his representatives in the workplace. He calls us to godliness and holiness, not secular success. And this is where Proverbs can help. Probably 20% of the pearls of wisdom in Proverbs deal somehow with how we should conduct ourselves in our working life. But really, from my experience, any wisdom you display in the workplace is almost entirely dependent on that key proverb, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, awesome worship and respect of our Lord, of this unfathomable God, the designer behind all that we are. Fear of the Lord encompasses knowing God's rescue plan for our lives, and then our recognition that it is our life with Jesus Christ that gives our lives meaning. It is from that point that we start living a life from the eternal perspective. What can help us do this? Well, first, keep godly counsel. Find a group of Christians at work. They will help hold you accountable. Knowing they are there will affect your behavior. I don't see it much here in Britain, but in America, it is not uncommon for Christians to put a fish symbol on the back of their car. When living in the States, we had them on the back of our cars. My wife insisted they be there. She said it made me drive better because I had to drive Christianly. She's right. Accountability. If you don't know any Christians at work, then let people know that you are one and see who comes out of the woodwork. Let me tell you, absolutely everyone at work should know you are a Christian. How else can you be a witness? And it will affect your behavior. And it's easy to let coworkers know that you are a Christian if they don't already. For example, when you get back from lunch today, ask some others what they did for lunch. If they have any conversational skills whatsoever, they will ask what you did for lunch, and you can tell them. You will have unashamedly let them know that you are a Christian, and then it's very easy next week to invite them to come along with you to the service and remind them they get lunch here too. Secondly, besides keeping godly counsel, we need to pray diligently and regularly. I remember committing to pray at work over big decisions many, many years ago, but I so often forgot or didn't because I didn't allow sufficient time. Finding time to pray was hard, especially when it wasn't a regular thing. So regular commitment is a key. But it's still hard, what with the interruptions of the day. Then finally, one thing I did that really helped me was to adopt Micah 6:8 as a prayer to use if I didn't have time for anything more. Micah 6:8 says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." So going into a meeting, especially one that I was worried about being contentious, I would pray, "Lord, please help me, and help me to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you, Lord. Amen." A 30-second prayer. There's always time for that. It refocuses your mind. And it was really simply amazing, God's answer to this prayer. Time and again, people would comment coming out of a meeting how smoothly the meeting had gone when they had expected otherwise. Micah 6:8, at work. Once, about a month after taking over a very, very problem project, a person came into my office and commented how different things were with me there. And I looked puzzled and asked them how so. And they said that under my predecessor, everyone kept their doors closed because of the atmosphere of yelling and screaming and swearing that it was just so draining. And she went on to say she didn't know what happened, but it was now pleasant to work there. This was the result of a Micah 6:8 prayer. This is not rocket science. If you are the boss or in any kind of leadership position whatsoever, then you will be setting the tone. If you yell, so will everyone else. If you use foul language, so will most others. If you act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God, most others will begin to as well and may ask you what drives you, an evangelistic opportunity, if there ever was one. I think Micah 6:8, I like it for many reasons. One, it was my prayer in the workplace for decades. Another thing about it, though, is that it really provides a good summary of the book of Proverbs. That's why we've been looking at it today. The Proverbs were written down at the time of King Hezekiah, which is the same time that Micah was prophesying. Strange coincidence. So in the workplace, think of Micah as a short summary of Proverbs, an easy way to remember what the Proverbs about the workplace are about, and create an atmosphere for wisdom by acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with our God. And remember our homework? Go buy some highlighters. See which of the Proverbs most speaks to you. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks that you have shown us that all wisdom, including wisdom in the workplace, depends on what we are living for. Help us to remember to live for your eternal perspective every day. In Jesus' name, amen.